in our living room.
Wow.
So it's a really fun technology. And I'll talk more about what it's getting at shortly. So I'm going to talk tonight a little bit about my installation, The Infernal Dream of Mother Jeff. And those drawings there are part of it, in case you're wondering. I don't have time to show you all of it, but I'll try to convey certain aspects that relate to the idea of drawing in motion. First of all, this will not take much imagination, but imagine it is very cold outside. Mutt and Jeff are freezing, destitute. They go in search of firewood. Here, I found Mutt and Jeff in this little box here. And they go in search of firewood, and all of a sudden, they find themselves, you will see, in a moment, there they are shimmering. Next thing you know, they are plummeting straight to hell. Wait for it. You have to remember that this was during the Depression, when even the economy itself was in freefall. And when they arrive in hell, they discover that even the devils are freezing their asses up. And we are going to see that.
Instructional cinema of the 1940s.
40s and 50s. Any trace of the utopian promise that the cinematic apparatus contained that Walter Benjamin talked about in the 1930s. He was interested in the workers' relationship to the moving image. He called technology second nature. He wanted to explore how, rather than being us being a slave to technology, we could use it to understand the world in new ways. So he saw a potential, a kind of utopian potential that is similar, the cinema technology would open up new ways of seeing the world, while at the same time, these industrial films would use it, in fact, in quite an opposite way, to organize and control the body. So I wanted to bring those two ideas together and use them to think about the industrial film, which really began in the work of, as I said, the Gobrets. And there you have another of the chronocyclographs. And here you have one of their early films. I used a film that was not one of their films, but based on their way of documenting the body in order that it could be studied and organized more efficiently. My film that I used was called Motion Studies Application, and it came from Baruch College, that was actually throwing out all their 60 million films. So it was a discarded object. And as you'll see, it shows how to work more efficiently on the assembly line. It was indeed one of countless films that were based on the work of the Gobrets. In an effort to speed up the human components of labor, the Gobrets broke down motion into its basic elements and then attempted to organize repetitive tasks as efficiently as possible using the same as few motions as were necessary. But again, as in the original work of Marais and Long, I discovered that the efficient body was shadowed by an inefficient double. You'll see that in another film that I used called Folie à Deux. It was one of a series of films made to identify but not treat a series of mental disorders. In this case, Folie à Deux refers to a contagious paranoia suffered by mother and daughter, whose florid gestures can be contrasted to the well-ordered ones of the workers. So I wanted to show, on the one hand, that motion studies application and Folie à Deux were again just two sides of the same coin. My work is very much about reanimating discarded objects of the past, but I also wanted to see if I could make these films speak anew. Was it possible to unlock the utopian potential of such abject films? I knew I had to create a third film that would somehow set them in dialectical motion. If the Gobrets instructed the worker to mimic those he saw on these films, then my worker would mimic them too well. If the people in these films were treated like things, then things would speak back. And I wanted to give these things a voice through motion. We enter here into the world of slapstick. And thus, through slapstick, I believe we enter into what we might call the dream life of objects, where the repression of our industrial world erupts. Slapstick is its excess. Slapstick posits a new relation between the world of things and the world of people. It begins by destroying the order of that world and leads us where? We don't know, but I believe that that's its strength. It doesn't precisely prescribe for us, but says simply that our world can be other than it is. When I shot my third film, I tried to give objects the opportunity to lead their own lives, and I did not know until the moment of shooting what exactly they would do. Slapstick might be called the laughter of things. Benjamin celebrated the revolutionary potential of laughter. He saw the joke as a moment of liberation in which the cracks and fissures abruptly open up in the status quo, producing what the surrealists might call a disorientation of the senses, a glimpse of freedom on both psychic and political level. In my original installation, you would have seen the industrial objects themselves, and behind them the video that I'm going to show, projected, where the objects live out a ghostly life. While in another space, you have seen Mutt and Jeff projected in 16mm, and a series of wall charts, of which these are three, exploring some of the images and ideas I've talked about. And there's also a little booklet that does the same thing, which is somewhere in this space, and afterwards, if you'd like one, I can give it to you.